listening to the John Barrett Leadership Podcast, where you'll hear great ideas, insight, and inspiration to level up your leadership ability.
Hey, everybody, it is John Barrett on the John Barrett Leadership Podcast. I am so glad that you are listening in. We're going to help level you up so you don't level out in your influence, your impact, all that you do as a leader. So welcome out. Really excited to be here. Really excited to be a part to add value to you. Listen, we want to make sure that you are leading at the highest level possible. My mission in life has always been to level up leaders so that they can be their best. And that's exactly what we're doing today. So let's get ready. We're going to dive into a topic that is so important today. Why teams resist and what to do about it. Why teams resist and what to do about it. Listen, you have to understand that resistance is going to happen at times on your team, in your organization, whether you're leading a department, whether you're leading your entire organization, whatever it may be, there's going to be resistance at times. And that's not a bad sign all the time. I mean, see, we always look at that and think, oh, if I could just be in a place where there's no resistance to what's going on. Well, listen, resistance is just part of leadership. It's part of it. When you're working with a group of people, there's always going to be some that are easy, that just buy in and they're along for the ride and they're so supportive. But there's going to be others, and they've got thoughts, feelings, they've got challenges, they've got opinions, all those kind of things. So, you know, leadership would be easy if we weren't leading people, right? I mean, it would just be easy. But when you lead people, it gets hard, because the more people that you throw into the mix, the more opinions, the more issues that you have that sort of rise to the surface. So today I want to talk about this is how do you face that resistance? Why is it there, and how to solve this so that you can move forward with your vision, the mission, all the things that you're trying to do. Again, whether you're leading a department or you're leading an organization. So let me give you a leadership truth that will literally change the way that you solve problems with your team. You have to remember that when issues come up, when there's problems, here's what you always got to remember: that issues are never the issue. Issues are never the issue. It's always the issue behind the issue that's the real issue. So listen, it's the issue behind the issue that's the real issue. So many times we get caught up in the symptom, and we look at sort of the surface level issue, that we don't really get to the root. We don't get to what's really causing this, what's happening behind the problem, what's happening behind the scenes. So you have to understand that when issues arise on your team, when there's resistance, when there's frustration, or your team is just not engaged or whatever it is, you have to understand that the issue is the issue behind the issue. So you got to dig deep as a leader. This means that you've got to understand that not every issue is your team just being resistant because they just don't like you, or they're just hard people, or, you know, whatever it is. Don't label them as difficult and unmotivated and all this kind of stuff. It's easy to let frustration build, and all of a sudden now you're just kind of dismissing them as just, you know, it doesn't even matter. They're just like that. Listen, you have to understand that great leaders don't just stop at what they see. They don't just stop at the surface. They dig for what they don't see. They go and they try to figure out what is causing the issue and what is the issue behind the issue, because that is the real issue. And it's like I always talk about with the five whys. If you've been around my world for long, you know that I talk about the five whys. Taichi Ono, who basically created the Toyota production system, changed the known world, basically came up with this idea. And the number five was kind of arbitrary, but it was this idea that you have to ask why about five times before you get to the root issue. Don't just stop at one why or two whys. You got to keep asking, well, why is that? Well, why is that? Well, why is that? In about five levels into asking why is where you really get into the root issue. You get into the root causes. So you've got to keep asking yourself, when there's team resistance on a new initiative, a new idea, a new vision, a new project, whatever it may be, why is that happening? You got to keep digging, and you got to peel back the layers so that you can uncover the root. And once you get to the root, you can now begin to move forward with the right solution. But if you throw all your solutions at surface level wise and just kind of whatever the symptom is, and you've got teams that are resistant, and you just say, well, I just need you to be more committed, or I just need you to be more engaged, or I just need you to be more involved in this. I need you to take ownership. Those are great statements, but they're very vague, and they don't really help anybody, because someone may say, well, it's not that I'm not committed. It's not that I'm disengaged. It's not that I don't care. It's not that I'm not taking ownership. There's just a deeper issue that's going on. So again, there's a lot at stake here, and this is so important because you have got to get to the root issue. If you're going to get them to get on board, you're going to solve that resistance, and you're going to help them understand what's going on. Now, to do that, here's what I want you to do. When you encounter resistance, your job is to diagnose this through six different kind of filters, lenses, if you will, just ways to look at what the real issue is. So six different things we're going to talk about: the who, the what, the when, the where, the why, and the how. Now, you've heard these before: who, what, when, where, why, and how, but we're going to break them down to help you utilize this so that it can help you solve what the root problem is. So whenever you're facing resistance, run it through kind of these six questions. And here's the first one. We're going to break them down. Is it a who problem? A who problem. Sometimes resistance isn't about the task or the mission or whatever it is that you're asking them to do. It's about the people, the person. They have a hard time connecting with somebody, with engaging with them. Maybe they don't trust that person. There's a trust issue with who's leading the project. Maybe there's tension between team members, and that's really where the resistance come in, because they're thinking, oh, I'm going to have to work with so-and-so to get this done, which is going to be a really, really hard issue because we don't tend to work along very well together. All right, so you've got to ask yourself what's going on, and if it's a who problem. Listen, you have to understand that who's matter. Who is leading something is very important. Just because you put somebody in charge of a project or you throw somebody on the team doesn't mean that there's a great chemistry there, that there's a good makeup. So you have to understand whether it's you kind of putting a project together or assembling a team or a task force to do things, you've always got to ask if there's resistance. Is it a who issue? Are they resistant because there's a lack of alignment, there's tension, there's not right people in the right seats, and as a result, you've got a who issue? You have to be honest enough to ask the question of, do we have the right who's in the right place? And are we working with the right people that are working on this project, that are leading this, that are stepping up and getting it done? So many times what I've seen with team resistance is that they just disconnect with the who. When that happens, you've got to kind of get in there and begin to maybe mend some relationships, have some open conversation, whether it's they have a problem with you because you're the who. You've got to be able to have some open dialogue and make a connection there, maybe mend some trust in this process. Or if you're facilitating something and the who is somebody else that you've delegated to, but your team is resistant on that, you got to help the who. You've got to help them kind of understand what's at play so that they can build trust with their team. Or you've got to help the team build some trust with their leader, the person that's stepping in to take this thing on. So always kind of think through this as, is there a who problem? Is this relational? Is it about trust? Is it about tension? Is it about chemistry here? Because just because you put people in play doesn't mean that there's going to be really great chemistry. This is why great leaders always look at the makeup of their team. It's so interesting to me that so many times we just kind of put bodies in place, we just assign tasks and delegate things to other people, but we don't think about, is this the right person? Not just because they're really skilled, but is it the right person who knows how to communicate, who can lead humbly but also boldly, somebody that other people are going to engage with and connect with? Too many times we put people in a leadership position because they're really skilled at the task, but they're not really great at leading. And so as a result, yes, they're skilled. Yes, they're phenomenal at what they do, but they have a really, really hard time getting the team involved and engaged around them because they're just not really good at connecting with people. So you have to understand that there could be a who problem. When there's resistance, it may be a who issue. So lean into that, ask that, make sure you have the right people in the right seat and the bus and doing the right things with the right skills. I mean, align all those things as Jim Collins taught us so long ago, of just making sure that we got people in the right seat, in the right bus, in the right place. All those alignment has to come together. So is it a who problem? Think about that and work on getting the right people. Another question that you've got to ask is this: maybe is it a what problem? Sometimes your team isn't resisting you or somebody, they're resisting what you're asking them to do. So they just look at it and they think, this is not what we need to do. They disagree with the direction of what you're doing. Or maybe they see flaws or risks that haven't been addressed yet, right? So there's the objective that you're kind of going after, the what that you're trying to make happen. Maybe there's just some resistance because they don't agree with it. So you got to think about what are you doing to communicate the what? Are you bringing them in to solutions here and helping them engage and getting involved in it? Don't just assume because you've thrown something out there, here's what we're going to do, that everybody's just going to jump on board with it. They may have questions. They may have, you know, kind of resistance because they don't agree with what is being done. So you've got to ask yourself, have I communicated the what? Have I done a good job at clarifying what the expectations are? Have I clarified what we're trying to solve here, what we're trying to do? Do they get it? See, great leaders don't just bulldoze. They clarify, they refine, and they even adjust based on that feedback. You've got to ask yourself, am I bringing the team in to think about this and to make sure that we're all solving this together? So ask yourself, is it because they disagree maybe with the direction? Do they see flaws? Is the objective unclear? Maybe it's not poorly defined. Listen, you got to understand, people don't commit to what they don't believe in, what they don't fundamentally see. So ask yourself, is it a what problem? Are we trying to do something that just doesn't make sense? Okay, is it a what problem? Number three I want you to think about is this. Is it a when problem? Timing can make a good idea feel like a bad one. Here, that's what I found out. Your team may not be resisting the vision. They might just be overwhelmed by the season that they're in. And the when is just not aligning. You're asking a whole lot when there's all kinds of other things going on. And the when, the timing, is just not the right kind of place. So you have to ask yourself, is the real issue here just a timing issue? Maybe I've got a really good idea. Maybe I've got something that's going to take us to the next level, but the timing is off. It's too much right now. So you got to ask yourself some questions. Are we introducing too much change at once? Maybe there's resistance because it's like, gosh, you're asking us to keep changing thing after thing after thing. There's going to be resistance because people are worn out. Are they stretched thin and they can't do what you're asking them to do? Not because they don't want to, not because they don't believe in it. They're just having a really, really hard time with the timing of it. So ask yourself, is this the strategic time or is it just an exciting time? So many times when we're making decisions, we want to move on it because we're driven, we're excited. We're like, come on, we got to get it done. Let's go, let's go, let's go. But you have to understand and ask yourself, is this the strategic time to do it? See, great leaders understand that things move in seasons. Your organization, your team, you move in seasons, just like the seasons change throughout the year, right? We've got summer, we've got fall, we've got winter and spring, and all these have, you know, different challenges. They bring different opportunities with them and a different feel all together. You got to ask yourself, what season are we in as an organization? What season is my team in? Are we in a season of just pedal to the metal and now is not the time to throw in a whole nother process change or a new idea or an addition to what we're already doing? It would just kind of frustrate the whole process. Or is it a time where we've got to kind of sit back and say, you know what, let's assimilate. Let's just kind of, we've had a lot of change. We've made a lot of changes. Let's let people get acclimated before we throw something else into it. Or is it truly a season of strategically like, no, we need to kick it in the high gear. We need to go. So ask yourself, are they resisting because it's a win problem? You have to understand that win and timing is so important in leadership. It may not be that they're resistant to what you're trying to do or even who, but the win is off. So ask, get feedback on how are we doing? How is the team feeling? Where are we at? When you throw ideas out there, part of the question that you need to be asking the team is this something that we can make happen right now? Is this something we feel like we need to put our focus on right now? And so get their engagement in that so that you can get that buy-in to understand that it when a win is aligned with what you do, there's magic. But when what you do is misaligned with when you do it, this is when you get resistance. So think about that. Is it a win problem? All right. Number four is another kind of question you got to ask. Is it possibly a where problem? Is this a where problem? And here's what I mean by that. If there's resistance from the team on what you're kind of throwing out there, your ideas, vision, you know, things that you want to move across the finish line. Environment shapes engagement more than you think. Listen, where you communicate and where you kind of bring up ideas and how you do it can really kind of start something great, or it can just start off with resistance from the get-go. And here's what I mean by that. You're trying to solve complex problems in a Rust virtual meeting, for example, right? I mean, it's a where problem. It's not that you're getting resistance because they don't want to engage. They don't want to be a part. It's just the wrong environment. All of a sudden now there's not good brainstorming. People are talking over each other. They don't know what to do. They're working on their computer. So you have to understand that sometimes that the where you're trying to get this vision across or solve ideas or get your team to buy in and really be engaged, it could just simply be a where problem. Forcing in-person collaboration when flexibility would work better. That's another one. You know, we kind of say, listen, you've got to be here in the office. We've got to do it. It's kind of the other side of this. And, you know, we face a little resistance virtually if we're trying to solve too complex. But sometimes trying to force in person, and when people are like, look, I need flexibility. And so now the wear is off because we've actually forced something that isn't allowing flexibility for people to work better. So again, there's no right or wrong. It's just what is working for your team. Is the resistance because you're trying to do what you do in the wrong environment? Maybe it's the wrong meeting. Maybe you didn't schedule enough time. Holding important conversations and environments that limit that openness where, you know, we have too many people on the call. We're trying to get team engagement and everybody to chime in, but we've got 28 people on the call. Well, guess what? More than half of those people are already going to disengage and never speak up because it's just too intimidating. It's too hard for them. Their personality is not wired to open up in a huge group like this where everyone's listening and looking at them. So again, you have to ask, is the right environment being created to get buy-in? Team resistance isn't always just, again, who and the what and when. It's sometimes a where problem. So you got to ask yourself, Are we creating environments that make it conducive for people to engage and be a part? So ask yourself, maybe it's a where problem. I run into this all the time. Just that example I just gave you where leaders are like, I got to get my team more engaged. And every, you know, it's crickets when I throw a question out there and I think, well, who's on the call? And all of a sudden it'll be senior leaders and you know, freshers, people that are brand new in the organization. And there'll be 25 people on the call. And I'm thinking, you're probably not going to get a lot of engagement. And if you are, it's going to be with all the strong, dominant personalities that just jump in and take over the whole conversation. So think about maybe breaking up the where a little bit. And it's, you know, maybe just a simple idea, but, you know, you throw out a question to the group, but then you say, you know what, we're going to break out into some virtual spaces with just three or four people in each group. And here's what I want you to talk about. We'll come back and we'll kind of discuss as a group. So it gives them an opportunity to kind of feel a little more comfortable. So the where changes a little bit, or breaking those up into different segmented groups. You get the point. You got to get creative sometimes and ask yourself, what is the resistance? Why am I not seeing what I want to see? And sometimes it's a where issue. It's an environment issue. So think about the environments that you're creating. Do they make sense? Do your meetings, where you're doing them, when you're doing it, what you're doing, you know, who's leading it, all these things we've been talking about. You got to make sure that all those things are aligned so that you get the right buy-in and you get people behind it. So think about, is it a where problem? The next one I want you to think about is this. Is it a why problem? So one of the biggest reasons, and maybe the most overlooked drivers of resistance, is that your team doesn't understand the why behind it. And when they don't understand the why, they're going to struggle to commit to the what. They're not going to get to the what because they're getting hung up on the why behind it. They don't understand the vision. They don't see the big picture. They haven't connected the dots. So you got to ask yourself as a leader, have you done a great job at communicating the why behind it? We know this. Simon Sinek, the famous author, I mean, started a worldwide movement just with the idea of start with why. One of the most famous TED Talks of all time, and then turned into a book. And now is a phrase that we use all the time, start with why. And basically, well, all he did was kind of do a little research and codify this idea that the best communicators, the greatest movements all throughout history, all stem from a strong why. They worked from the inside out. It was kind of the heart behind it. It was the big why, the purpose, the vision behind it. And then they worked out from there and they talked about the what and the how they were going to do things. But if you don't get the why started, if you don't start there and you got a great compelling vision of why this is going to work, then people are going to resist it. I was in a meeting not too long ago. It was great. Sitting down in a group meeting, and somebody in there said that everybody tunes into a certain radio station. And if you don't tune into this and kind of play the right music on this radio station, then your team's never going to engage. And basically it was the idea of what's in it for me radio, WII FM radio. What's in it for me? WIIFM radio. What's in it for me? And I thought that was such a brilliant line. And I thought that's so true. I mean, people want to know. They want to know the why behind it. And that's not a selfish question. It could be, but it's not. I think truly we all genuinely want to know, what is the why behind this? How is this going to help me? How's it going to help others? How's it going to help the mission that we serve? I mean, what is it behind this that's really going to drive it? So you got to ask yourself, have I clearly connected this, whatever it is, a process change, an idea, a new initiative, a new way of doing things, have I connected it to the bigger picture? Do they see how it impacts them in the organization as a whole? And have I inspired belief in this, or am I just giving instructions? Am I just kind of shouting out, well, here's what we're going to do moving forward differently because it's just going to be more efficient? Well, I got it, but have you clearly identified why it's going to be more efficient? And the whole idea of why efficiency is so important for us. I mean, why do we need to be more efficient, right? We're already being as efficient as we can. So you've got to make sure that you're connecting to the bigger picture every time you do. In fact, I always say leaders are dot connectors. They're the ones that always need to help people understand what the bigger picture is, how to solve this, how to get to where they need to go, and how to see how all of it works together for the greater good. So is it a why problem? Ask yourself as a leader, right? That have I connected it to the why? People don't give their best to efforts that don't have purpose behind it. You got to understand that when there's meaning behind a task, people lean in more, they give more of themselves, they're more committed to it, they're more willing to stay the course when there's a meaningful purpose behind it. So attach everything with why, with purpose, so that they can get behind it. Number six that I want you to ask yourself, this is the last one, is kind of think about if there's team resistance, it may not be a who, it may not be a what, it may not be a when, a where, it may not even be a why, but here's the deal. Is it a how problem? Is it a how problem? Sometimes the vision is right, but the execution to get there is wrong. So they believe in the what. They believe in what you're doing. They believe in the why behind it. They got all that. But the real issue of the resistance is how you're going about executing it. They don't agree with it. There's resistance there because they're saying, wait a minute, why are we doing it this way? I get it. I get what we're trying to do, but that we're making it way harder than it needs to be. We're making it way too complex. We're overthinking it. Or, hey, we're really underselling this. We don't understand that this is going to take a whole lot more than we think that there is to make this happen. So the resistance may come from just a fundamental strategy. So you got to ask yourself, is the process too complicated? Are we creating unnecessary friction potentially? Are we involving the right people in the right way? Are we making sure that how we're going to accomplish this, that it makes sense and that there's buy-in? So how you do that, one of the things that you want to think about the most is this is where as a leader, instead of coming in and directing all the time and just saying, okay, here's what we're going to do, here's why we're going to do it, here's when we're going to do it, and here's who's going to lead it, and it's great, and we're going to do X, Y, Z, and then we're going to make it happen by this date. Instead of sitting there and just having all the answers, directing everybody and just telling them what to do, think of yourself more as a coach, someone who's leading with questions, who's trying to get engagement. You don't get engagement by just telling people what to do. You get engagement by inviting them into questions, saying, listen, what do we think is the best route to get there? Here's what we need to do. Here's what we need to accomplish. Here's why we need to do it. But let's start brainstorming. I want to hear your guys' input on how we get there. What can we do that would make the most sense? This is how you get people from resistance to ownership. You bring them in as part of the process. Too many leaders, I see this all the time, they lead with answers is what I call it. They just walk around and bark out orders and just, you know, they've always got the answers for everybody. And in fact, they kind of pride themselves on, well, leaders are supposed to have answers. They're supposed to tell everybody what to do and make it really clear. And in fact, leaders kind of pride themselves on the idea that if I go into a team meeting and I can answer everything before they've even asked it, I've done a great job. So at the end, when they say, okay, here's what we're doing, X, Y, Z, we're going to make it happen by this date. Jim, I need you to do this, and so-and-so, you need to do this. Any questions? And if their team doesn't have any questions, they think, oh, I've done a great job at leading. No, you haven't. Wrong. You've not. Right? All you've done was come in and monologue about all this stuff. You didn't invite engagement. You didn't bring in people's strengths and unique ideas. No, you got to go in and lead with questions. And sit down and say, okay, listen, here's the objective. Here's what we need to get accomplished. Now, what I want to hear from the team is this. What do you think we can do to make this happen? When can we make it happen by? If we were to remove all the obstacles and put in all of our focus, what do we think our team could accomplish? Could we do it in 2 weeks? Talk to me about what would need to happen. What would need to change? Let's start getting some dialogue here. When you go in and you lead with questions like that, you start bringing people in to engage. And you get them to answer and you say, listen, I want to hear. And don't just throw it out to the group. Ask specific people in the group. Point them out. I see leaders do this all the time. They think, John, I'm trying to lead with questions. I throw a question out to our team and it's crickets. Nothing. No response. Well, again, I would go back and say, well, why is there the where problem, the when problem, all those kind of things. But even with this one, I would say, well, are you inviting them in by questions? Don't just throw a general question out, especially the bigger the group. Target people. Look at people and call them out. Put them on the spot. That's what a great leader does. You stretch people. You push people. And you look over here and you think, okay, so-and-so, what do you think we should do moving forward? What would you do in this situation if we only had 2 weeks to make it happen? What do you think would need to change in our workflow today to make that work? And get them, even if they fumble through it, I'm telling you, that's going to bring more engagement. One, you're coaching people, you're challenging them, you're pushing them, but you're not just throwing out questions to the group and then just saying, okay, guys, come on now, I need input. No, you just call on them and you go for it and you single them out in a good way, in a polite, respectful way, obviously, not to freak anybody out or shame them, but pull them in to the engage them into the process. So ask yourself, is it potentially a how problem where they just don't agree with the how? And some of that is because they just haven't been able to be a part of the process of solving it. So make sure that you think about this. Now, here's the bottom line. You can't fix what you don't fully understand. That's true. You cannot fix what you don't understand. You can't improve something you're unaware of. Most leaders are trying to solve resistance at the surface level, and that's why it keeps showing up. But when you take the time to identify the who, what, when, where, why, or a how issue potentially, and maybe it's a combination of a few of them, but if you kind of go through and you begin to say, well, what are we really dealing with here? Then you're not leading, you're just reacting to the symptom. But when you do that, you're going to be able to kind of get to the root cause. You're going to unlock that buy-in. You're going to restore that clarity that is needed. You're going to build trust. You're going to move your team forward with a whole lot more confidence when you do that. Listen, resistance is not your enemy. It's an indicator. It's telling you something deeper is going on. Great leaders, they don't ignore that. They don't ignore that resistance. They don't just get frustrated with the resistance. They lean in and they say, oh, okay, there's a deeper issue here. Let's investigate it. Let's figure it out. So the next time your team pushes back, all right, they're resisting for whatever reason, and you're getting frustrated. Listen, don't ask, why are they resisting? What's going on? Why? I don't understand. Why are they not engaged? What you need to be asking is, what's really driving this? What is the issue behind the issue? And once you can identify that and find the answer, and you kind of pinpoint it down, now you can begin to kind of create a path forward. Because if it's a who, you can begin to work on mending relationships, putting other people in place. If it's a why, you can connect it back to the big picture. If it's a how issue and they don't agree with the strategy, you can bring them in with leading with questions. You get the point. Once you identify the root, now you can begin to actually solve it and bring in that engagement. So I hope this was helpful to you. Listen, go to johnbarrettleadership.com and check out all the resources I've got. I've got books. I've got podcasts. I've got YouTube videos on there. I've got free resources. Every Tuesday, new content comes out. Go check it out. Subscribe to it so it can come straight to your inbox. Guys, I'm rooting for you. I want to see you succeed. I want to see your teams engage and get through resistance. So we will see you next month here.
Thanks for listening to the John Barrett Leadership Podcast. To get more of John's resources, visit www.johnbarrettleadership.com.